ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22, entitled Prithumaraj's Meeting with the Kumaras, Verse 46. Svameva Brahmano Bhunte Samvatse Samdadati Cha तस्येवानुग्रहेणान्नम् भुङ्क्ते क्षत्रियादयः भुञ्जते क्षत्रियादयः स्वमेव ब्राह्मणो भुङ्क्ते संवस्ते स्वं ददाति च तस्येवानुग्रहेणान्नम् भुञ्जते क्षत्रियादयः स्वम् एव ब्राह्मणो भुङ्क्ते स्वं वस्ते स्वं ददाति च तस्येवानुग्रहेणान्नम् भुञ्जते क्षत्रियादयः। Word to translation. Swam,
Om.
Eva, certainly. Brahmanaha, the Brahmanas. Bhungte, enjoy. Swam,
Om.
Vaste, clothing. Swam,
on.
Dadati, gives in charity. Cha,
and.
Tasya,
his.
Eva,
certainly.
Anugrahena, by the mercy of. Annam,
food grains.
Bhunjate, eats. Kshatriya adayaha, other divisions of society headed by the Kshatriyas. Translation. The Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras eat their food by virtue of the Brahmanas' mercy. It is the Brahmanas who enjoy their own property, clothe themselves with their own property and give charity with their own property. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped with the words Namo Brahmanya Devaya, which indicate that the Supreme Lord accepts the Brahmanas as worshipable gods. The Supreme Lord is worshipped by everyone, yet to teach others He worships the Brahmanas. Everyone should follow the instructions of the Brahmanas, for their own business is to spread Shabda Brahma or Vedic knowledge all over the world. Whenever there is a scarcity of Brahmanas to spread Vedic knowledge, chaos throughout human society results. Since Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are direct servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they do not depend on others. In actuality, everything in the world belongs to the Brahmanas, and out of their humility, the Brahmanas accept charity from the Kshatriyas or kings and the Vaishyas or merchants. Everything belongs to the Brahmanas, but the Kshatriya government and the mercantile people keep everything in custody like bankers. And whenever the Brahmanas need money, the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas should supply it. It is like a savings account with money which the depositor can draw out at his will. The Brahmanas, being engaged in the service of the Lord, have very little time to handle the finances of the world, and therefore the riches are kept by the Kshatriyas or the kings, who are to produce money upon the Brahmanas' demand. Actually, the Brahmanas or Vaishnavas do not live at others' cost. They live by spending their own money, although it appears that they are collecting this money from others. Kshatriyas and Vaishyas have no right to give charity, for whatever they possess belongs to the Brahmanas. Therefore, charity should be given by the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas under the instructions of the Brahmanas. Unfortunately, at the present moment, there is a scarcity of Brahmanas. And since the so-called Kshatriyas and Vaishyas do not carry out the order of the Brahmanas, the world is in a chaotic situation, condition. The second line of this verse indicates that Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras eat only by the virtue of the Brahmanas' mercy. In other words, they should not eat anything which is forbidden by the Brahmanas. The Brahmanas and Vaishnavas know what to eat, and by their personal example, they do not eat anything which is not offered first to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They eat only prasad or remnants of the food offered to the Lord. The Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras should eat only Krishna prasad which is afforded them by the mercy of the Brahmanas. They cannot open slaughterhouses and eat meat, fish or eggs, or drink liquor, or earn money for this purpose without authorization. In the present age, because society is not guided by Brahmanical instruction, the whole population is only absorbed in sinful activities. Consequently, everyone is deservedly being punished by the laws of nature. This is the situation in the age of Kali. Om Ajnana Timiranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyutamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchagalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhute Mahadhyay Mahapuro Vibhu Nirmaya Shete Adamusha Purusha Bhumte Gunan Shodasha Shodashatmaka Soram Krishishta Bhagavan Vacham Sime Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
This is a very focused verse, and there is a very focused purport by Srila Prabhupada, establishing the position of the Brahmanas and how the entire society is dependent on Brahmanas, or meant to be dependent on Brahmanas. Not only that, all the possessions belong to Brahmanas. This looks revolutionary. Yes, Srila Prabhupada's purports are revolutionary. Nothing belongs to anyone else. Everything belongs to Brahmanas. And everyone can have only remnants of it. So this is the purport. So it means nothing belongs to the government. Nothing belongs to the people. Because it's a democracy. So everything belongs to the people. No, nothing belongs to the people as such. Nothing belongs to the head of the society. Everything belongs to the Brahmanas. Definitely, people may argue about it. What kind of philosophy is it? However, this is a reality coming from the Vedic ages. In the Vedic ages, we can try to understand the qualifications and positions of Brahmanas. It is not easy to be a Brahmana, of course. And Brahmanas had their quality. None of them became Brahmana just by their birth. And Brahmanas had all different kinds of wealth as well. It is mentioned that a Vedic Brahmana would be rich at one point. Lot of gold, lot of jewels, lot of opulences. A Brahmana is a wealthy Brahmana. This is in the morning. By evening, he may be a poor Brahmana, having nothing, just going out begging for something to eat after offering to the Lord. How is it possible? Because Brahmanas, they can give everything in charity. They are so detached that a real Brahmana, he may have all the wealth. Next day, he may give out everything and now left with nothing. This is Brahmana. Is it easy to be a Brahmana and be a possessor of the entire world? No, it's not easy. One cannot have material desires, material attachment. That's why when Pandavas were performing Rajasuya sacrifice, their treasury was empty. There was nothing left in the treasury. Immediately Yudhishthira asked Arjun, "You go and collect some riches. We need so much of gold for the Rajasuya sacrifice. So much of wealth is required." Then Arjuna knew where exactly to go and collect gold. Do you know where did he go? Huh? Where?
Brahmana.
He didn't go to Brahmanas. He went to the direction of Himalayas, because it was a fact that by the mercy of Lord Shiva, a great king in the bygone ages, amassed lot of wealth, lot of gold. And he had all his paraphernalia, all his kingdom made of gold. Then, since he's a Vedic king, he started giving everything in charity to Brahmanas. He understood who it's meant for. So he gave so much of gold to the Brahmanas, and out of duty, they accepted all this gold and paraphernalia. Everything they accepted. The dadi pradigrahnati. So it's a qualification, or it's an art, even to accept something in charity. To feel one who is giving, they are valued for what they are giving. Not like, if you got something, yeah, okay, anyway I have, but okay, I'll give it. Not in that mentality, but to feel that, okay, it's encouraging the charity. In that way, these Brahmanas, even though they had no interest in such gold and golden paraphernalia, they accepted everything. And as they were walking, it became so heavy. So much of gold is too heavy for the Brahmanas. And Brahmanas are not so well built, you know, not so much of strength. So after some time, they just left them. They left all the gold. So many Brahmanas, and they had so much of gold, they left all the gold and it became just like a small mountain of gold. And no one bothered touching that. And Arjuna went there and he collected. And he brought them back for the performance of Rajasuya sacrifice. That's why Arjuna is known as Dhananjaya. Dhananjaya, because he amassed so much of dhan, so much of wealth, so much of gold. So this is the position of Brahmana. So to be a Brahmana, it's not very easy. Right? Even now also, we have to understand, it's not easy to be a Brahmana. We can get fired up hearing this purport, reading this purport. We could pull out our thread, or we could say we are prospective candidates to become a Brahmana. So what we are getting is only Brahmanical initiation. There is difference between initiation or the beginning and becoming a Brahmana. So becoming a Brahmana is a constant strive. Not very easy. Narasimha Kavacha Prabhu, our deity worship minister, he was mentioning in Mayapur, he was chanting and he placed his feet in a wrong way facing some devotees just for a very short period. He, you know, left open his leg. Immediately one devotee told, yeah, look, climbing to a Brahmana. He's climbing to a Brahmana. You understand? This is a standard. If one is okay, if one has to possess everything, then one needs a quality. It's not, nothing is for free. Right? So this is the standard what was there during the Vedic times. And so even Kshatriyas couldn't do anything about Brahmanas. One time, this is a pastime from Mahabharata, Vishwamitra, a great king, he was traveling in the forest because he was fond of hunting. Kshatriyas could hunt because it is just to practice. So they had the right to hunt, not just to give pain to the animals, rather to sharpen their skills of archery and use of other weaponries. So Vishwamitra went to the forest and he was hunting, and then he and his soldiers, everyone was there, they became hungry after hunting for some time. Just like we know the pastime of Maharaj Parikshit. So here Vishwamitra also became hungry and he went and he approached Vasishtha Muni. You know Vasishtha Muni, right? Vasishtha Muni is a great sage. And Vasishtha Muni received Vishwamitra very well. And after that, he said, okay, come, we will arrange you something to eat. Because the king requested that kindly arrange something for us to eat. Immediately, Vasishtha Muni started serving King Vishwamitra and all the soldiers with delectable dishes of all different varieties. One after another, they started eating one after another. Then Vishwamitra started thinking, how is it possible for a forest dweller to have such opulent dishes? So he asked, oh Vasishtha, you are living in the forest, you don't have so much of wealth, but this kind of food we don't even get in our kingdom. What's the secret? Do you have any mystic power? Is there any magic? What's the secret? Vasishtha says, look, I have a cow. The name of the cow is?
Nandini.
Okay, who said Nandini? That's the right answer. Nandini, the name of the cow was Nandini. So Nandini was the daughter of Kamadhenu from the heavenly planets which belonged to Indra. So Indra gifted daughter of Kamadhenu, Surabhi, to Vasishtha Muni. So Vasishtha Muni had this cow, and Nandini used to provide everything because Nandini was desire fulfilling. So they had the nice feast, and King Vishwamitra started thinking, better to have this cow, because I can, if I have Nandini, then I don't have any problem of feeding my soldiers and myself, because I can go with my army anywhere, they'll be sumptuously fed, then we can win over the world. So he was thinking, he was very calculating, and he told Vasishtha Muni, why don't you give this Nandini to me? Because I am the king and it will be very useful for me and it will be better utilized by me. Vasishtha Muni said, that's not possible, because this is a gift by Indra and I am using this Nandini for my sacrifices. So Nandini is providing everything for me to perform sacrifices to worship the Lord. So I cannot give you. Vishwamitra said, I can give you 100,000 other cows. Give me Nandini. He said, no, you can give me the whole kingdom, but I will not give you Nandini. Vishwamitra became very angry. He said to his soldiers, ordered them, you go, catch Nandini, we'll take her to our kingdom. So all the soldiers went and they started pulling Nandini. So Nandini came to Vasishtha and told, what sin did I commit? So that all the soldiers are harassing me. They are forcefully taking me. And you are my master and you are supposed to protect me. Why are you not doing anything? Vasishtha said, it's not by my order. They are doing it forcefully. If you wish to go with them, you can go. If you don't, you don't have to go. So Nandini became very angry. This is a special cow. The cow got raged and started producing a lot of sound. And the whole body of Nandini got heated up. And from all parts of his body, fire started coming. From he opened it, you know, he lifted his tail. Usually, you know, nothing, you know what comes. Gomutra comes, cow dung comes. But from that, fire started coming. Charcoal burning. And that itself started burning many soldiers. Then from her body, so many different soldiers started coming out of different races, thousands of them. And they started attacking King Vishwamitra's soldiers, and all the soldiers were annihilated completely. And Vishwamitra had nothing to do, he just ran away. Then Vishwamitra had this realization, I thought I am a Kshatriya, I am a Vedic king and I had all the power. Look at this Brahmana. He had the Brahma Tejas, the potency of being a Brahmana. So rather than being a Kshatriya, I should become a Brahmana. May not be the right reason to be a Brahmana. So he started, what mode of material nature he is affected by? So the mode of passion. We will see that. Then what happened? Vishwamitra started performing austerities, tapasya. Then what happened? Who came? Huh? No, Lord Brahma didn't come. Yeah. So Menaka came. Then even just the sound of the tinkling of the ankle bell, Vishwamitra's meditation broke. Right? And then Shakuntala was born. Right? Shakuntala was born. Beautiful girl. So this is, then Vishwamitra gave up and he said, you know, this is enough, I don't want to see Shakuntala. There is a paintings of, you know, Menaka showing Shakuntala to Vishwamitra. Vishwamitra is, you know, like this, I don't want to see her because it's a result of my breaking all this austerity, so I don't want to see that. He just goes away. Then he understood, I shouldn't be affected by this lust. Indra is telling all these damsels, creating disturbances to me, not allowing me to become a Brahmana, rather I should be very focused. So he started again austerities. This time who comes? Urvashi or Rambha, I think. One of them. Then what happens? This time, did Vishwamitra get affected by lust? No. He said, no way. I am focused. I will not get affected by that. But when he heard the sound of Rambha and in anger, he opened his eyes. So in his anger, he produced so much of anger so that he lost all his tapasic powers. All his power he got from tapa, he lost everything. First time by lust, second time by anger. Both times he lost. Still he continued. He was very determined. So that is Vishwamitra. So now the point is, Brahmanas, they had power. We know the case of King Vena also. King Vena was just killed by Brahmanas, just by Hunkar, by these high sounding words. As simple as that. So they had this potency. However, they had high qualities also. That's why in the Vedic terms it's mentioned. Just like if you offer Ganges water back to Ganges, so we worship the Supreme Lord, ultimately everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. Similarly, Brahmanas possess everything and they gave everything to Kshatriyas so that they can look after. They gave everything to the Vaishyas so they can look after. And whenever it is required, Brahmanas can take everything back. So this is the bank system, savings bank in the Vedic ages. There were no NAB, there was no Westpac, or you know, nothing. What was that? The Kshatriyas and Brahmanas, sorry, Kshatriyas and the Vaishyas, they used to manage the wealth. And Brahmanas, whenever they wanted, they could get all the wealth that they wanted. So this is the Vedic system. Now, how the same principle is applied in our society, for example. Our properties, who it belongs to. Yeah, ultimately Krishna. Here also in this purport, it's not mentioned it's Krishna. Yes, we all know it belongs to Krishna. But for us, who it belongs to? A grihastha having a BMW, 5-bedroom house. Who it belongs to? Belongs to the spiritual master. How is that? So actually the wealth belongs to the spiritual master. And a spiritual master, he doesn't want, because spiritual master is a Brahmana, a qualified Brahmana, and he doesn't want to be bothered by your big building, cars, your loans, whatever. So the spiritual master gives away to the disciple, okay, it all belongs to you, you look after everything in service of Krishna and the Guru. So ultimately everything belongs to the spiritual master. So that has to be the mood of a disciple. It's not that all belongs to me. Yes, all belongs to Krishna, we say that, but all belongs to the spiritual master. So it is an impetus for us to take direction from spiritual masters and use the wealth appropriately, because it has to be meant in their service to please Krishna. So this is a direct application. How can we use it? It's a very important point. So there are guidelines in terms of giving charity in Krishna's service to Guru, to the society, etc. So this is what is given here. However, the Vedic times are gone by. Maybe 50 to 100 years back if you see, or even 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 years down the line if you see. There is no Vedic Brahmanical system, there is no Vedic Varnashram system. What is present is just caste system, it's just casteism. Casteism is nothing but one is a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or a Shudra or below according to one's own birth. And the Brahmanas never bothered educating the rest of the society. Brahmanas remained as Brahmanas, the so-called Brahmanas, with the value of one thread. How much does it cost? Thread. You know, maybe 1 or 2 rupees. So they are thread Brahmanas. Brahmanas by thread only. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto, there is a description. Exactly the same thing is mentioned. In Kali Yuga, a Brahmana is known by the thread. That's it. There is no one knows what are Brahmanical qualifications. If one has a thread, then it has all values. And the Brahmanas use their thread to scratch the back. Become an expert in scratching the back with the thread. The art of scratching by Brahmanical power. So this is Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga Brahmanas have no qualities. If one is strive for, we have to actually strive for those qualities, but it's not there. Everything is just simply by birth, and they are very proud of being born in a Brahmanical caste. And what are they doing? Driving rickshaw. They're Brahmana but driving rickshaw, working in bank. If that's not Brahmanical occupation. Driving rickshaw, working in bank, that's not Brahmanical occupation. Being an engineer. We are Brahmanas, my son is an engineer in US. It's not Brahmanical calling, it's not a Brahmanical occupation, that's Shudra occupation. So, but still, one is very proud. It came to this level that there was such a kind of apartheid, you know, it's an apartheid existed in India, now probably reduced quite a very great degree, that one, there was the untouchable class. You cannot go near the higher castes. You cannot go near them. This is untouchables. Maybe 50 years back it was strong. Untouchables. Cannot go near them. So Brahmanas don't want the shade of other castes to come near them. How is that? They went so crazy. This is a degradation of Vedic culture. I told you the story. When I became a devotee, I went to our family temple one time. And I went there. And I'm going there after a long time. I haven't been there. and I took darshan and I was standing there. Then few ladies cornered me, older ladies, they cornered me, like, you know, they surrounded me. They asked, who are you? So because they are distant, the temple belongs to a, you know, wider family, so who are you? I said, I'm such and such. I'm son of such and such. So they said, okay. But I cannot see thread on your chest. Because, you know, you cannot wear shirt there, you know, you can have just like, you know, an uttariya, not the whole shirt, you cannot wear that. So you don't have the thread. The Brahmin thread is not there. So we had to question. Because without Brahmin thread you cannot come here. Then I said then ask, why don't you have Brahmin thread? So that's the next question. You are supposed to have, but why don't you have? I said, I'm not yet initiated. I haven't taken Diksha yet. So they said, you know, it is not, I said, I'm not qualified. I have to get the Diksha, then I can have the Brahmin thread. Otherwise I cannot have because I'm not qualified. They said, no, it is two things you have to consider. One is the family in which you are born. Second, the age. If these two qualifications are there, then you will get the Brahmin thread. You can go for the Upanayana, you can get the Brahmin thread. I said, no, that's not the case. You know, Krishna never says in Bhagavad Gita, right? Anywhere mentioned about the family background to be a Brahmana, the place of birth, etc. No, nothing is there. What is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita? Guna karma vibhagashaha. Chadurvarnya maya srishtam. Guna karma vibhagashaha. It is guna and karma. Qualities have to be there. Brahmanical qualities have to be there, and it has to be cultivated. And karma, what is your occupation? Is it dependent on that? Not according to other factors. Anyway, they spared me. They didn't argue further. They didn't have much answer, so they left me. So this is how, can you understand how strong this caste system is? I remember another time, I went with my dad to a temple. So there was a raised platform next to the altar. So there's the altar, there was a raised platform. Generally, if you go to South India, there's a mandapam is there. So my father went, paid obeisances. Then following him, I also went and paid obeisances. Immediately the pujari called to me. Who are you? You don't have a thread. How can you pay obeisances here? Only if you have a thread, you can pay obeisances. Otherwise, you cannot pay obeisances. I said, he's my dad and I am his son. Then he became a bit relaxed. Then, you know, they said, okay. He was not happy. He wasn't satisfied, but he left me. So this can be, so things can go pretty crazy in this world. When it comes to the caste system, which is a perverted reflection of varnashram system. So this I am talking, you know, quite a few years back. Now it is deteriorating, it's still there in some part, but that is also going. And also the caste system, it was so strong, some places they don't allow to eat or at the same place. If Brahmanas are eating, you have to go out. You can eat. Brahmanas eating place, other caste there is another eating place. So this is the real caste system. So we are not after this. This is a perversion. This is not right. That's why even, anyway, we're talking about this, just a one. Even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had trouble initiating his disciples, giving Gayatri Mantra to be a Brahmana and allowing them to worship Saligram Shilas. All the smarter Brahmanas, all the caste Brahmanas, they opposed. To the degree that when Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj and his disciples, when they went to Vrindavan for Yatra, most of the Goswamis, they shut the Vrindavan temples, and some of them actually even started throwing stones at Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur and his disciples, Prabhupada Guru Maharaj. So strong. This is about maybe 80 years, close to 80 years back or so, or 100, you know, 80, 90 years back. So this was the caste system, so strong. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took the strong step to initiate everyone into Brahmanism who is qualified. So is Srila Prabhupada all around the world. He wanted to make Brahmanas by qualification. So that's the purpose of International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So that we can become qualified Brahmanas, so that we can lead the society, giving the right guidance. So this is a cultivation. By initiation we won't become, it's a cultivation, we have to work on it.
that in the current age, Brahmanas are not so much respected. We know if you go to India also, what it matters is money. If you have sufficient wealth, then everything else is all right. Caste doesn't matter so much. So, has made some improvement, yeah? Everything is talking, money is talking, that's all. So this is Kali Yuga. So one misconception to another misconception, that's all. There is nothing great. But in our society, we need to understand the purpose of Brahmanas or Vaishnavas. And highest Brahmana is a Vaishnava. It's not that Brahmana is something separate. When you read Brahmana, don't just think that Brahmana is just a demigod worshipper, or the highest understanding of Brahmana is a Vaishnava. So many places in Srimad Bhagavatam we can see Brahmana. Namo Brahmane Devaya. Krishna is addressed, as is mentioned in the purport, Namo Brahmane Devaya. So there, when you talk about Brahmana, the highest Brahmana, that is a Vaishnava, that's a devotee of the Lord. On a lower level, there can be devotees of different demigods as well. Or there can be impersonalists as well. But the higher understanding of Brahmana is a Vaishnava. So there is no distinction between these two. So we shouldn't get confused when we see the word Brahmana is something someone else. No, he belongs to the devotees. Then Bhaktisiddhanta Sarita Thakur actually awarded the thread to show that a Vaishnava is already a Brahmana. So if Brahmana can have a thread, Brahmin thread, then a Vaishnava must have a thread, because Brahmana, just saying Brahmana, is only a subset of Vaishnava. So in that way. So this is, so our application, one, we need to see that everything belongs to the Brahmana, that is the spiritual master and the spiritual masters, and ultimately Prabhupada. That has to be the mood of a disciple. And we need to strive to develop Brahminical qualifications. So it is very clear that Kshatriya, people criticize devotees, people criticize Brahmanas, you are not working, you are doing some prayers. That was Vishwamitra was also telling to Vasishtha. You are doing some meditation and some prayers and doing some sacrifices. Everything belongs to me, the king. How can it belong to you? But the reality is, everything is belonging to the Brahmanas by the principle given here. Then, next is mentioned, even whatever eatables Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras have, that is also provided by Brahmanas, because Brahmanas know what to eat and what not to eat. Kali Yuga is an age where people do not know what to eat and what not to eat. Very clear. People don't know what to eat and what not to eat. As simple as that. You go see all the restaurants. Is it good in any sense? For health, it's not good. Spiritually, it is not good. It's not good spiritually. It is giving so much of sinful reactions. So even it's not good for environment. It's not good. So people are eating anything and everything and no understanding whatsoever how to live a life. That is this age of Kali. No idea whatsoever. And if you tell something good, people take it wrong. However, there are some slight changes. For example, Australia, there is 11% population of vegetarians and vegans. That's a good step forward. It's a big thing actually, if you think about it. Whereas in India, more and more people want to eat meat. India is degrading. It's a reality, it's degrading. And it is fashionable to eat meat. Have you seen such circumstances? It's fashionable. You are restricting? You are going backwards. Why restrict? Eat everything. Drink everything. Be open. Be free. That's India. That's India is going in that downward track. Whereas here, at least some understanding is there based on health, environment, compassion, etc. Okay, we had to restrict what we are eating. So we can see how it is happening, you know, both sides. India, it is polarization. That is, on one side, India, in many temples, there are many brahmacharis, big congregations. People are becoming devotees following the principles and they want to practice, they want to preach. So one, devotees are actually polarized in one direction, and on the other side the rest are polarized to more and more sinful activities. So you can see, you know, going into the both poles. One is towards Krishna, one is really in the demoniac path. So India, that is going on. Whereas here it is at least coming to a little bit goodness. We cannot say so much of going through the spiritual path, but at least goodness is coming a little bit. What it was before, you know, 30 or 40 years back. So that is the situation at this point. So now, the prasad, what is prasad? The understanding, how to offer, all this knowledge is coming from brahmanas, because brahmanas are knowledgeable about Vedas. Shabda Brahman is known by the brahmanas. So the knowledge of prasad is coming from the brahmanas. Without brahmanas, there is no knowledge. And without knowledge, people do sinful activities. That's what is going on at this point in time. So now, prasadam is our secret weapon. If we consider Krishna consciousness, and especially in Melbourne, especially in Australia, Srila Prabhupada said, we will conquer Australia by prasadam distribution. So, it's a secret weapon all around the world. It's a secret weapon. People, just by taking prasadam, unknowingly they are getting purified. Is it difficult to partake prasadam? No, it's very easy, right? The easiest thing is to have prasadam. But some people say, you know, I remember in the university, one who actually was giving us the space to serve prasadam, he was telling, I told, you know, one day, you know, come, you know, you have some free lunch, you know, have some rice, curry, all those. He said, you know, no, I won't. Because in the rice, I'm opposing. I cannot have rice. He said, I can have only meat. I will not eat rice. He was like that. So we had to give something else for such kind of people. You know, prasadam in different varieties. But it is very sad if one doesn't have taste for prasadam. So that's actually the worst situation. If someone doesn't like prasadam, then what we think, you know, what can we do now? Because that is the most easy thing for anyone to accept, that is prasadam. And people hanker for taste for prasadam. If you go for some music festival, people say, we were waiting for the whole year to have some of your, you know, the kofta balls. Like, kofta balls are our secret weapons, right? Nowadays, if you see the outside preaching world, it's not gulab jamun. Preaching world, it is the kofta balls. Everyone wants kofta balls, you know. Just everyone wants to just come eat. They think it is chicken. You know, can you get some chicken nuggets? Nuggets, if they say nuggets, immediately they think about chicken nuggets. Can you get some of them? So it's good. Anyway, whatever, they are drunk, whatever they say, you give them. They will eat and get purified and they appreciate it. They will come next year or the next day. So this is the reality. The prasadam is so important. And in the 5th chapter of 1st canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, who tells the glories of prasadam? Exactly, Narada Muni. Narada Muni tells, how I got purified? Exactly. Uchishtalepan. Uchishta means the remnants. Uchishtalepan, animodito dujaihi. Uchishtalepan, animodito dujaihi. This Brahmana, the Bhakti Vedantas, the great devotees, they sanctioned animodita. They sanctioned to take the remnants. Uchishtalepan. Whatever they ate, whatever left over by these great devotees, they sanctioned Narada Muni. Young boy who was serving these great sages said, you know, you can partake this. And they Narada Muni had this prasadam, then it's mentioned, Sakritsma Bhunje Tat Apasta Kirbisha. That is, Sakrit means immediately. Immediately, as soon as he partook this prasadam, then Apasta Kirbisha, then immediately all the sinful reactions went away and he started developing taste for devotion service. Samshuddha Chitta, his consciousness became purified and he developed attraction for all these great devotees and started following devotion service. So this is the beginning of devotion service of Narada Muni, who became a great devotee. He became Narada, he is a Devarshi. He is the sage among the demigods, such a great devotee of the Lord. Just starting from taking some remnants of prasadam eaten by great devotees. So it has a potency to purify. So we had to be very careful while taking prasadam, understand its potency. That's why in the pastime of Lord Chaitanya, when Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya were in the house of Advaita Acharya, you know, in the hall, in the friendly conversation between Lord Nityananda and Advaita Acharya, you know, Advaita Acharya criticizing Lord Nityananda for eating too much and asking for more. And Lord Nityananda, he eats everything and he's telling, you know, you are a Brahmana, you are not giving anything in charity to the sannyasis, to the avadhus, what are you doing? So this friendly conversation was going on in a joking way. Then Lord Nityananda, he threw some of his remnants of prasadam He just threw rice like this. And some of those remnants fell on the body of Advaitacharya. He didn't eat. Advaitacharya didn't eat. Just touched the body of Advaitacharya. Immediately Advaitacharya went into ecstasy. He started chanting and dancing. Can you see? This is the potency of Maha Mahaprasadam. Lord Nityananda ate and the remnants just touched the body of Advaita and Advaita started chanting and dancing. That is the power of Prasadam. In fact, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a very interesting pastime where in Sarvabha Bhattacharya gets delivered by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. We know the pastime how Mahaprabhu fainted in front of Lord Jagannath. Then Sarvabha Bhattacharya took him to his home and served him. And once everything was done, Sarvabha Bhattacharya wanted to teach him Vedanta because he was thinking, this sannyasi is so young and is so handsome. And he is a very sentimentless sannyasi because he is simply chanting and dancing and he is not fixed in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. He doesn't know about Vedanta. So, without Vedanta, one's mind can get deviated. So, he has to be taught in Vedanta. So, he said, I have to Gopinath Acharya that I volunteer, that I want to teach the sannyasi Vedanta. And he said, I have taught so many sannyasis Vedanta. So, Sarvabha Acharya, he is Brihaspati himself, is the guru of all the demigods. So, he appeared as now Sarvabha Acharya. So, he offered, I can teach Vedanta to Mahaprabhu. And he said, I can even change the order of his sannyas because he is being initiated in a lower order of sannyas in the Bharati Sampradaya, which is lower. So instead, I can reinitiate to a higher sannyas order. So Gopinath Acharya, who is the brother-in-law of Sarvabha Bhattacharya, he became very upset. He became very angry. How can you speak about Lord like this? Accepting sannyas is only a pastime for Lord Chaitanya. And how can the Supreme Lord fall down? He's the Supreme Lord. How can he fall down? Not possible. Your mentality is completely offensive. He chastised Sarvabha Bhattacharya. Then later, Gopinath Acharya told also Mahaprabhu that this is the mentality of Sarvabhauma. So Mahaprabhu was pretty cool. He said, you know, it's okay. He wants to offer me some service, I'll accept, no problem. Then Sarvabha Bhattacharya offered the service of teaching Vedanta and he accepted. I'll hear Vedanta from Sarvabha Bhattacharya and he heard. And after 7 days, we know the pastime. After 7 days, what happened? He didn't utter a word. Then, of course, there was a conversation between Sarvabha Bhattacharya and Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu defeated all explanations of Sarvabha Bhattacharya and Sarvabha Bhattacharya was astonished. His heart got transformed. He accepted Mahaprabhu as a Supreme Lord. Then Mahaprabhu showed him Shatbhuj form as Krishna, Rama and as Mahaprabhu, Shatbhuj form, the six-armed form. So he showed everything. He became a devotee. Now is the interesting pastime. After this incident, Sarvabha Bhattacharya is now a devotee. And he offered so many prayers to Lord Chaitanya. For example, Sarvabhauma Shatakam, 100 verses composed by Sarvabha Bhattacharya in glorification of Lord Chaitanya. So one day, Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath Temple, Puri. And the priest there, Panda, offered him some Mahagarlands and Mahaprasadam. It was early in the morning, very early in the morning. And from the Jagannath Puri temple, Mahaprabhu went to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And he went there. At that time, Bhattacharya was sleeping. So someone told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that Mahaprabhu has arrived. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya heard this. He, you know, he just woke up from the sleep and he started chanting, Krishna, Krishna. So hearing this, Mahaprabhu became very happy that now Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has started chanting the holy names of Krishna. And he got up. And as he got up, Mahaprabhu went inside the bedroom. And straight he offered this Mahagarland and Prasad on the hand of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he accepted the Prasadam. And immediately he started reciting a couple of verses in glorification of Mahaprasadam. He started the reciting verses telling that if the prasadam, if it is coming from a foreign land, even if it is very old, even if it is stale, even if it is improper time, one shouldn't wait. Immediately one should honor the Mahaprasadam. Hari Bol. So, chanting this, and this is the order of the Supreme Lord, ever from Padmapurana. And immediately he took the prasadam and put it in his mouth with great devotion. So this time, Sarva Bhattacharya hasn't taken bath. He hasn't washed his mouth. He hasn't done anything straight from the bed, but he honored Mahaprasadam. Mahaprabhu became ecstatic. Just by this one act, Mahaprabhu became ecstatic. He started glorifying Sarva Bhattacharya. He started saying, "You have done such a wonderful act. Just by this act you can go back home, back to Godhead, because you have respected this prasadam so much." He embraced Sarva Bhattacharya. Both of them started chanting and dancing out of ecstasy. So this is the power of prasadam. Because the point Mahaprabhu was making was, he gave up, Sarva Bhattacharya gave up all restrictions, all scriptural injunction according to the Vedas. Rather, he took complete shelter of Mahaprasadam. So for that, Mahaprabhu became so pleased. So this is the glory of Mahaprasadam. One can have Mahaprasadam anytime. Yesterday I was hearing a recollection from Shruta Kirti Prabhu, one of the long-standing servants of Srila Prabhupada. He was mentioning, Prabhupada, when he takes prasadam, usually he faces the wall. You go to Srila Prabhupada's room, you can see he's facing the wall and taking honoring prasadam. And then usually he doesn't speak. And Shruta Kirti Prabhu was mentioning, you cannot find anyone who relishes prasadam as much as Srila Prabhupada. This is Prabhupada. He knew how to relish prasadam. He was actually relishing prasadam. They know, actually, these great devotees, they know actually by what consciousness we are cooking prasadam. They can actually detect. If you cook prasadam with a cook and offer with the wrong consciousness, they feel it. That's how it is. They know it. Even there is one incident took place in Hyderabad. There was a farm, they were trying to establish the farm, and Prabhupada was instructing the devotees to establish the farm, collect the villagers, and you know, have festivals, do something. It wasn't working very well, and at one point there was some prasadam kept there. Srila Prabhupada tasted and he said, "Not even a dog will eat this. Find out who cooked this." And they found out, the devotees had appointed a local person to cook the prasadam, the bhoga, and it was not at all up to the mark, and he was not following any principles, and Prabhupada detected straight away. Another incident, one sannyasi, even in his con, he was given some prasadam, he was having his lunch, so one Mataji cooked, and he was having the prasadam. In after two morsels, he asked who cooked. So asked that person to come here. So that person, the Mataji, came there, asked, "What were you thinking when you were cooking? What was your consciousness when you were cooking this?" And she said, "I was singing Beatles songs." And this Maharaj said, please don't cook for me again. Really, because they can actually detect the consciousness. One is advanced, can detect the consciousness in the prasadam. So this is powerful. So Krishna consciousness is serious. Prasadam is serious. And those who are advanced, they can actually detect. We may just go for the taste. You know that, right? We all know about that. How tasty it is, then we are completely satisfied. However, one who is advanced in Krishna consciousness, no. Where is the bhakti? That's why Krishna also says, "Bhaktiya upahrudam ashnami prayatatmanaha." Two times bhakti is mentioned. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktiya prayachati tadaham bhakti upahrudam ashnami prayatatmanaha. Krishna is not interested so much in what varieties, but bhakti He did it. That's the main thing. We know the pastime of Sudama also, that comes in both hand in hand. In terms of respecting the Brahmanas, what did Krishna do when Sudama entered, was about to enter the palace of Dwaraka? Krishna personally came and received and took him to the inner chambers, allowed him to sit on his personal bedstead. Krishna himself personally washed the feet of Sudama because he was a Brahmana, and took the water and sprinkled on everyone's head. So this is, and then asked, you know, you are my dear friend, we are meeting after a long time, so what did you bring for me? I know you are hiding, you have something very good for you, for me. And you know, snatched. And what was that? Chip rice, that's it. That too, his wife begged from the neighborhood. That's it. And Krishna started eating. One, two. Rukmini was very concerned. What will happen to Krishna's health? If we eat this, this is low quality. But Krishna accepted. See, Krishna accepted. Immediately what happened? A big palace has been constructed for Sudama. So, to the degree that he couldn't even recognize. He couldn't even recognize his own wife when he returned home. She was looking like a, you know, heavenly damsel. He couldn't recognize his own wife. So this is the power of prasada. Krishna accepts me. The whole idea is to please Krishna. If Krishna accepts anything from us, then our life is perfect. If the spiritual master accepts our service, our life is perfect. If the spiritual master is pleased, great Brahmana, is pleased with our service, whatever we can offer, our life is perfect. So our life has to be aimed towards that. Are we pleasing such great Brahmanas and the Supreme Lord? Okay, stop here. Is there any question? Any comments? Okay.
As you said, the king goes for hunting to kill animals to get better skins. So, when he kills the animal did not do any harm to him. So, does he get karma for that?
Who, the Kshatriya?
Yeah.
No, Kshatriya will not get karma. The question is, a Kshatriya king goes for hunting to sharpen his skills. So, these animals haven't done anything wrong. So, innocent animals are being killed by the Kshatriyas. So, will such Kshatriyas incur any sin? The answer is, since they are following the Vedic rites, and if they are actually following the Vedic rites, not just an enjoyment, rather if they are following the Vedic rites, then they don't incur any sin. Because it is, they have to practice on someone. So that, and that the purpose is to protect the citizens, protect the praja. So in that they even protect the animals as well. The king will protect the animals also. Right? We know the king in Bhagavatam who was guarding whole night with a sword to protect cows, right? So they were ready to give their own life to protect even the animals, even the cows. So in that way, it was fair. It was not a biased thing. What's your question?
To add on the prasadam topic, remember in Prabhupada would take 40 minutes to eat the prasadam, just chewing everything and just And also another memory from memories of Prabhupada, these two reads, they got Mahaprasadam into the car and Prabhupada came into the car, they said goodbye, and when Prabhupada was not in the car, he dropped the plate of Mahaprasadam and he just said, oh my god. So he just put it back on the bowl, and Prabhupada got in the car, and as soon as they left, he said, where's the prasadam? Give Mahaprasadam, give me now. He said, Prabhupada, I'm sorry, just drop it. He said, give it to me. It fell on the car floor, it was not clean, but he said, give it to me right now, and he just started doing it really.
Higher consciousness of Prabhupada. Even prasadam fell on the floor, immediately Prabhupada accepted. Yes, Madhuri.
Is this Bhagavatam for Kaliyuga only or Yuga? Bhagavatam just for Kaliyuga or Yuga?
Okay, Bhagavatam for Kaliyuga, okay. Bhagavatam is specifically spoken, specific I'm saying, Kaliyuga, that's why the question is asked. When, since Krishna has departed, from this world with dharma and gyan. What's the shelter of dharma and gyan? So then it is mentioned, Krishna sadhama vagate dharma gyanatri sadha kalo nashtadasha esha puranatko adhino vagataha. In that sense. But at the same time, the Bhagavatam knowledge is present. Because there are great devotees in other ages also. The Bhagavatam came in the written form only 5000 years back. So such a description was given for this age of Kali. That's why Vyasadeva, he didn't write Bhagavatam before.
Other people can't read. So after Kali Yuga, they don't need this book.
No, it's not like that. All this knowledge is eternal, but it can manifest at certain point in time. That's all. Is it clear? It manifested at the beginning of Kali, Vyasadeva wrote. So it will last for this age of Kali. That too, maybe next 10,000 years. Because when the Sankirtan movement is there, then with the deterioration happens, then people will not respect Bhagavatam also. Even if it is present, the real meaning we cannot guarantee to have. At other yugas, the knowledge is present, but not necessarily in this elaborate form. Because ultimately, the conclusion of the Veda, the ultimate conclusion of the Veda is Krishna. Vedesh sarva ahameva vedyo. So it means that Krishna's name, qualities, pastime, everything is there in the Vedic literature. It is there. But it may not be so elaborate as Srimad Bhagavatam. Because if we are not given this Purana, we will not be able to understand the Vedas and understand Krishna from Vedic literature, other Vedic literature. It's not possible. So for this age, it is explicitly, vividly explained and given. So the knowledge is there, but in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, it appeared in the beginning of Kali, for this age of Kali. But knowledge is there. So that's why great devotees, they knew pastimes. Even before, even the other ages of, they were great devotees of the Lord and they knew the pastime. It is there. Knowledge is there. But in the written form, in an elaborate way, no. Yeah. Any? Madhuri?
This verse comes within the conversation of marriage preacher to Kumara's war, trying to respond to that process. And tomorrow, being a bit of a cheat, but the purport at the end says the best friend and benefactor of all people is one who awakens humanity to its original Krishna consciousness, which is probably the ultimate purpose of the Brahman Vaishnava.
That's right. It's a very, very important point. It's actually coming in this purport also. Prabhupada actually makes his point very clearly. I'll just read that. Give me a second. Everyone should follow the instructions of the Brahmanas, for their only business is to spread Shabda Brahma or Vedic knowledge all over the world. So that is the actual purpose of Brahmana. So a Brahmana Vaishnava is spreading, preaching Krishna consciousness. So this is actually a Brahmana on the highest class, means Prabhupada, a person like Prabhupada who is preaching Krishna consciousness. So that very important point. Thank you. Okay. Any final question or any final comment? No? Okay. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srimad Prabhupada ki jai.